Problems, the explanation to our difficulties, and the explanation of our victories and our triumphs in life boil down to this simple little six-word phrase. Life is a state of consciousness. That is the beginning, and that is the end. It is the last step in the metaphysics, and all other steps are leading up to it. Isaac Pennington, a Quaker, said, "All truth is a shadow, but the last truth. And the last truth is that life is consciousness. You are, and you have, and you do, in accordance with your consciousness. That is the beginning, and that is the end. There are other ways of looking at life that are on the surface correct. But ultimately, the truth is that your life is a state of consciousness. Your physical body is the embodiment of a part of your consciousness. Your home is the embodiment of another part of your consciousness. The kind of work you are doing, whether you are in work that you love, or whether you are doing drudgery that you hate, is an expression of your consciousness at that point. The kind of people you meet, the people you attract to your life, are all expressions of your consciousness about your fellow man. If someone were to come to me and tell me that they couldn't get along with people, I would think in my head, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I think it in my head, you should get a card about the size of a postcard. And you should write on it, like begets like. And you should put that card inside your closet or some other place where no one else in your family can see it. because sometime in the future it may cause you some embarrassment. When you find yourself grumbling and finding fault, they could point their finger at that little postcard, and that would be very embarrassing. So put your card inside your closet, where only you can see it. People say to me, if you only knew the kind of family I have, if you only knew the kind of people that I have to work with, and I say, the law of being says, like attracts like. The ultimate explanation of all things is that life is a state of consciousness. Take this pulpit, for instance. You say this is solid wood, and that is true as far as it goes. But the next step, going deeper, is what we find is really made up of molecules with a great distance, relatively speaking, between them. And so this pulpit is not solid at all. It is made up of molecules, and that is true as far as it goes. But these again are made up of atoms, and atoms are made up of electrons and protons, and so on and so on. We hear talk about vibrations of rays, of all these things, and they are good descriptions as far as they go. But in the ultimate, beyond all these things, we come back to a state of consciousness. Before you change your state of consciousness, nothing else can change, will change. All trouble, all disappointment, all depression, all limitation is a state of consciousness that must be changed. People are trying to change the outer conditions, but they are leaving their consciousnesses unchanged, and so it cannot be done. The only fundamental way to change things is to change your consciousness, because you almost always must and always will get the conditions that belong to you by way of your consciousness. You cannot cheat nature. Through your sheer willpower, you can drag to you certain things that do not really belong to you, but you can only keep them for a short time, because the moment you open your hands, they will fly away. That was the real cause of the financial collapse in 1929 and the constant ups and downs of the markets today. The prosperity that was built up then and the prosperity that is built up now was and is not true prosperity. People have been gambling on the stock market, the horse races, the casinos, and they have attracted or dragged to themselves prosperity that they were not entitled to by right of consciousness. And of course, they could not keep it. This same law applies to health. You can compel a certain part of your body to appear healthy for a short period of time. But if you do not have the consciousness of health, you cannot keep it. A person is cured of rheumatism and he gets sciatica. He is cured of that and he has trouble with his sight. His sight is healed and his right lung is weak, and so on and so on and so on. These are not healings. These are temporary cures, because they are attempts to put into the body something that doesn't belong there by right of consciousness. When you want to solve your problems, you can see immediately that the only scientific way is to start to change your consciousness. Nothing can come to you securely. Nothing can stay with you permanently, except what you are entitled to by right of consciousness. Emerson said, "No man and no institution was ever written down or talked down by anything but itself." People may slander you, But nobody can hurt you except yourself. Nobody can wreck a church or a center or a teaching or a country except itself. A woman said, I started a center and everything went beautifully until some horrible person spoiled it all. No one outside of herself spoiled her center. She was the horrible person who spoiled her center, because if she had started the center and it didn't go well, then she did not have the right consciousness for the work. She should have changed her consciousness until she did have a good center, and then no one else could have spoiled it for her. Your body, your home, your city, your country, the universe are all pictures of consciousness. Your private life outpictures your own consciousness. The national life, the life of this country, and the life of the world is the outpicturing of the consciousness of the country and the world. So you see how foolish it is to try to change the outer picture without changing the inner consciousness. I have heard people say, I am broke. I need $1,000. I need money. I have heard people say, I have had a quarrel with somebody. And that usually means that they expect another person to bend to their will and come crawling on bended knee for forgiveness. They want these things put right, and they ask for prayer. I say, change your consciousness. We in divine science do not treat for money. We do not patch up quarrels. But we can help you change your consciousness. When we say this to individuals, some of them just smile and they say, oh no, my consciousness is really quite good. Other people are to blame, my mother or my sister, my children, my spouse, my employer. No. The real trouble is your consciousness. And all the time you are trying to work on the outer things and leaving your consciousness unchanged, no permanent good can ever come to you. Too often you try to change the outer things instead of changing the inner. And so, nothing happens. But when you start to change your consciousness, things will happen. Things will change. If you don't like the picture on the television screen, what do? You change the channel. If you don't like the picture you're seeing and you would like to see some other, you wouldn't get a cloth and try to rub it off the screen like it was a chalkboard. You would take charge. And you would change the channel, and you would find something else more suitable to watch. The scientific way to approach life, if you do not like the picture that you are getting, is to change the channel. How do we change the channel? We do it by rising in consciousness. The way to meet any problem is to raise your consciousness. If you do this, the problem disappears. In the Bible, a valley always stands for trouble, for sin, for limitation, and the mount or the mountain stands for uplifted thought and prayer and understanding. We must forge up the mountain. We must raise our consciousness. Most people who have had a problem concentrate on the problem. They take it to bed with them and they stay awake all night thinking it over. Let go of the problem. Rise above it in consciousness. How can we do this? Go up quickly in a flash if you can, but you can't always do it that way. You will find that by reading the Bible or some available spiritual book, or by repeating some favorite inspirational hymn, your consciousness will begin to rise. back in the day, if a diver wants to go down to the bottom of the ocean, he wore lead shoes. But if he wanted to come up to the surface again, he quickly kicked off those lead shoes. And then he rose, and he rose rapidly. When we rise in consciousness, we kick off our lead shoes, and then we begin to be healed. There is no other way. The great key to consciousness lies in the Word, which divine science has been teaching since the day of its founders. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. The first chapter of John is a reflection on the first chapter of Genesis. Both deal with creation. God said, John explains, is the Logos. The Greek word Logos means the great creative word. The great creative word is I am. It is the secret of all of life. We are given in Deuteronomy, and Jesus identified himself with it. Jesus was a great reader of the Psalms and of Isaiah and of Deuteronomy. The key to life is not somewhere outside of life. You can't go up to it. No great seer or saint will go up and bring it down to you. It is not thousands of miles away across the sea. It is very nigh unto you. It is with you all the time. I am is the great secret. I am is the famous lost word. All through history, mankind has felt that there is a way out, if only we could find it. All old fairy tales tell the story again and again and again. Aladdin had a wonderful lamp. He rubbed it, and he received all of the things that he wanted. The lamp was the creative word. Cinderella was in the kitchen, miserable and unhappy, like so many others. And then something happened. A pumpkin turned into a carriage, and white rats turned into white horses. And you know the rest of the story. But there must have been a change in Cinderella's consciousness first for all of these things to happen. Always men and women have felt intuitively that there is a way out, that it is not necessary to be angry, it is not necessary to be mean, it is not necessary to be resentful and bitter, that it is not necessary to grow old or die, and that it is not necessary that we should fight and grab for prosperity and scraps of food. What is life worth living if it is to be a constant struggle for our necessities? As a race, we have always known from the depths of our soul that there is a way out, if only we could find it. We have always known in the depths that God means all life to be noble, creative, and joyous. This is the truth. The way out lies in the spoken word. In the Bible, the word means any definitely formulated thought, not just a drifting thought that floats through your mind, but a definitely formulated thought. The word is creative and is the strongest and the most creative word is I am. Whenever you say I am, you are calling upon the universe to do something for you, and it will do it. Whenever you say I am, you are drawing a check on the universe. And this check will be honored and cashed sooner or later, and the proceeds will go to you. If you say, I am tired, if you say, I am sick, if you say, I am fed up, I am disappointed, I am getting old, then you are drawing checks from the for future trouble and future limitation. When you say, I am divine life, I am divine truth, I am divine freedom, I am divine substance, I am eternal substance, you are drawing the check on the bank of heaven. And surely that check will be honored with health and prosperity for you. It is important to remember that you don't have to use the grammatical form, I am. Every time you associate yourself with a thought, with anything, or think of yourself as having anything, you are using a form of I am. The verb to have is part of the verb to be. In the very ancient languages, there is no verb to have. It is a modern invention, just like the radio, the television, the automobile, and Pokemon Go. I have means I am, because you always have what you are, and you always do what you are. That is the significance of I am. And today, more and more people have come to know about it than ever before. And this is a very good thing. Divine science has been teaching it for years, but few people realize what it actually means. Whatever you associate yourself with is what you are bringing into your consciousness. What is the first thing that we say when we open our mouth to talk? We say, I am this, I am that. Now perhaps my father was Mr. Fiore, and he was. And therefore, I am a Fiore. And the neighbors across the way, well, they were Joneses. And they were strangers to me because I, after all, am a Fiore. And immediately the baby picks up the prejudices of the old man, Fiore. Or we say, I am white, or I am African American, or I am Asian. The white person gets a great many prejudices concerning the African American and the Asian. And the African American and the Asian get prejudices concerning the white. And the Asian gets them concerning the white and the African American. Why do we pick up these prejudices? That baby grows up, and of course his family is interested in politics. Again, he sets up in his mind a whole army of prejudices. He belongs to a certain party because his father does. He goes to a particular school or a particular college, and he collects more prejudices. He should use the I am to say, I am freedom. I am for freedom. He should throw down the wall of resentment. It is your I am, whatever way you use it. And there is one thing that nobody can do for you, and that is to save your soul, because nobody can speak the I am for you. Nobody can say, I am for you or another. He should say, you are or he is. And that would not be, I am. In Revelation we read, to him who conquers, I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows except him who receives it. The white stone means the ascension of the divine nature because of its understanding, and the new name is the new character and the new life. You speak for yourself and you save your own soul, and it is said to be secret because only you can use it. Teachers write books for you. They can talk to you, but they cannot save your soul because they cannot think for you. When anyone uses I am for you, it becomes you are. It is your I am that must save you, and nobody on earth can use it but you. The I am is God in action, and God is not a man. God is working through you. You are not separated from him. God does not sit far up in the sky and send you a good idea. God is the I am giving you a new embodiment, a new creation. Whatever you believe, that is what you create. You are the I am. God knows himself in your consciousness, and that is knowing God. God is I am that I am, but you are I am. I want to emphasize the point. You build your consciousness with your I am. Nobody else can do it for you, and you can't cheat. Sometimes you can cheat in business, and sometimes you can cheat in gambling, and sometimes you can cheat at cards, but you cannot cheat with the I am. Appearances count for nothing. Your consciousness is built within the I am. According to your I am, so are your conditions. You are not using the I am only when you think and speak affirmations. Perhaps that has been a weakness in our teaching. We have tended to overrate affirmations. We have to use them because they are a reminder of what we are to think. But are you using the I am in every action all day? Every action that you do all day long, you are building into your consciousness. And you will never build anything into your consciousness until you do it in practice. Meditating an hour every morning before breakfast helps very little unless you carry this realization with you into your everyday living. If you lie or cheat or are selfish, then that is what you are building in your consciousness. We teach much on thought, what we call words, but we haven't always insisted it is the practical conduct all day long that builds up consciousness. People tell me that they can spend several hours each day and each night building up their consciousness through meditation and contemplation, but as soon as the meditation or the contemplation is over, they have forgotten it. We should build our consciousness by the things that we do all day long. It is by such things that we are judged. God does not judge us. We judge ourselves by the consciousness we build, because life is a state of consciousness. Let us build true consciousness and bring forth a day of freedom for the world. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. You might want to rest your feet flat on the floor and find a comfortable position for your hands, perhaps in your lap or at your sides. And just relax for a moment. Take in a deep breath. Let it out slowly, and let it cleanse the body and the mind, and let it help you relax. Be still. Quiet your mind. Let go of everything that is not inside this peaceful and holy place. If you have worrisome thoughts swirling around in your head, let them go. If you are holding on to anger, resentment, or jealousy, let them go. If you have a to-do list in your head, let it go. And be still. Be very still. And go deep within, to the very center of your being, where God our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms and unconditional love and beautiful peace and wisdom. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. I am that I am. I am the beloved child of the Father. I am made in His image and after His likeness. I am divine love. I am divine truth. I am divine freedom. I am divine substance. I am eternal substance. I am divine knowledge. I am divine wisdom. I am divine understanding. I am divine joy. I am divine peace. I am divine goodness. I am divine love. I am the wholeness of God, for He has placed Himself in me, and He has given me all that He is and all that He has. I am our sacred words, forceful words, and creative words. Let me not use them in vain, O gracious and loving Father. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you, and He lifts your consciousness and gives you His infinite, eternal, and unconditional love and all that He is and all that He has. Amen.